This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Rockies win last night, 41-62. I don't care. I don't care about the record anymore. I've decided I'm not even going to look at it. Mike, don't even let me look at the record. I'm going to look at players. I'm going to look at how they respond. And we'll look at guys we absolutely should not move on from, and that is Hunter Goodman. If he was 10 years older, okay, trade him, get something for him, but I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it. This team is much better than they were a year ago. So, no, don't trade Hunter Goodman. Nuggets are trying to move pieces. They're also not trying to move pieces. Run it back, don't run it back, kind of run it back. We'll see. Got a great segment coming up with Preston Munch, the owner of the Fort Collins Foxes, as well as Killing Me Softly on a very shortened show today before the Rockies go out for the rubber match against the Nationals. The whole show starts right now. And rolling on this Wednesday morning. How you doing, Mike? It's a little bit slightly cooler, not really, but we do get rain in the evening, so that's kind of exciting. I hate summer so much.
I do too. It was 78 degrees in my place last night, and I didn't like that.
Ooh.
I was able to open the windows before midnight this time.
You got to open the windows if it's 78 degrees, Michael.
Yeah, I don't have an air conditioner in there. I just have a heater. And it was 76 this morning.
Gross.
So that's better than the average lately.
Who likes this? Seriously, who likes this? I always hear, oh, summer. Oh, I love summer. Are you serious? I can't even be outside, Michael. I can't sit outside for very long, or if you do anything, if you're outside for anything, you're drenched, you're sweaty, you're gross.
I think summer has a reputation of being good because the summer movies come out. You also have
Don't start with the movies thing again, Mike. Don't. We got in trouble for it with listeners. Don't start with that again.
I'm just saying, like, there are a lot of movies that are supposed to come out in the summer because they'll make more money off of it.
Movies are out all the time.
But, like, I think summer is overrated. People forget how hot it gets. They're like, yeah, I want to go to the pool. But do you want to go to the pool on a 100-degree day when the sidewalk is burning people's
feet?
And
you've got to cake on the deodorant, or the deodorant, well, that too, the sunscreen. Like, Mike, I'm sure, you know, in your little belt buckles there, you got your holsters full of sunscreen when you go out on the scoot.
I don't have sunscreen at home, so whenever I'm hanging out with my brother and sister-in-law, they always bring sunscreen.
You gotta
have
sunscreen.
Steal from them.
You gotta have sunscreen. It's a big deal. The poll question of the day, brought to you by Recency Bias, is Bo Nix. Are you really telling me that Bo Nix is better than Lamar Jackson? Bo jumps to number 59 on the NFL Top 100 after the Broncos' stellar season. He was number 64 after a rookie year. And, you know, he had a big year. 25 stats were almost 4,000 yards, 25 touchdowns. He had 356 rushing yards, all that. It was good. And again, keep in mind, this is voted on by his peers, by players throughout the NFL. They moved him a spot ahead, they moved him ahead of Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, number 69, after injuries limited to him to 13 games. Trevor Lawrence at 62, and Jordan Love at 72. A lot of fans of those QBs and analysts not crazy about that list. I'll tell you right now, he's not better right now, today, as we talk. He's not better than any of those quarterbacks that I just mentioned. Trevor Lawrence, Jordan Love, and Lamar Jackson. He's not.
Are you personally offended that Lamar Jackson is that low?
I'm not offended. I'm a fan to watch him play. I don't get offended. I'm not like obsessed, like Broncos Kool-Aid stuff. I'm not offended. But how do you go from, what was Lamar last year? He was top five? How do you go from top five to 69 in a year?
They didn't make the playoffs?
Well, he was hurt. He played 13 games.
I think the injured, the history
and how do you
of
not take
probably
an injury,
affected that.
How do you not take injuries? I mean, if this is voted on by your peers who should appreciate injuries more than anybody, how are you not going to really take that into account? Now, I get that this is a last year award, but this is how people frame this. You literally have people that are framing this in a way saying Bo Nix is better than Lamar. Did Bo have a better year than Lamar Jackson last year? Yeah. If you go look at the stats, you can't really argue that.
And the Broncos went to the AFC Championship game.
Correct. But what happens when a quarterback gets hurt? Things look a lot different, don't they?
Yeah, I don't like these lists.
There's a bunch of them. But how does Bo Nix end up on NFL.com's, ESPN, all these other lists that are coaches, executives, scouts, and they're ranking him as 15th to 18th, and now suddenly Bo is ranked higher than a ton of these quarterbacks. I just think it's the narrative of, wow, players think Bo Nix is better than Lamar Jackson. This is based off of last year's stats, and it was a down year for Lamar, also injury riddled. It will be a big year for Lamar. Now without Harbaugh there, I'm curious to see what this does to his game. Does it open it up? Is he worse? I think when I say this, like when Michael asked me, does it hurt my feelings? I'm a fan of Lamar Jackson because I'm a fan of entertaining sports. I like Lamar Jackson's style of football more than I do Joe Flacco in Joe Flacco prime. That Joe Flacco won a Super Bowl. But as far as what's appealing to my eyeballs when I sit down and watch a football game, that's appealing to my eyeballs. But I don't have like this diehard fandom thing. He's the most electrifying man in all of sports and entertainment. That is a fact. Backed up by science, Michael. That is not an opinion. That is a fact.
And
go look it up.
You did that science in your office.
Go look it up. Go buy a science textbook and you'll see an entire section in there about Lamar Jackson. It's
look,
amazing. Blows you away.
I don't like these lists unless, you know, obviously I disagree with it or I agree with it. But overall, these lists, it just feels like a popularity contest. And there's just not enough. Like, you're right. Should Lamar Jackson be rated that low? Probably not. Like, will he be rated lower this year? Probably.
Wasn't he like 2 last year? I think he was like 2 or 3 last year. How do you go from 2 or 3 to 69?
I mean, this is why I don't like these lists.
So
there's,
dumb.
There's no set parameters.
I mean,
there's
his numbers.
No rules there that say it has to.
You have to
take this into account. So it almost feels like a popularity contest.
He threw for 2,500 yards, 21 touchdowns, and 7 picks. Not great, not terrible, average. I don't know how average moves you from top 5 to barely top 70. I don't know. And listen, I got a tweet message here, Mike. Brady, I got to be honest, it sounds like you are always down on Bo Nix. Well, I'm not down on Bo Nix. I think I'm reasonable on Bo. You go ahead, Mike, Mr. Know-it-all back there. What is my take on Bo Nix? What is it?
You are very down on him.
What is my take? If you listen to this show,
he needs to prove himself.
Correct. Have I once said I don't believe he can?
I don't think so.
All right, there you go. But I'm pushing back on those people that keep telling me he's arrived. I was watching our friend's little video cast. I don't mean little in a disrespectful way, but video cast. DNVR Broncos. They were saying Bo Nix is the most underappreciated, underrated quarterback going into this next season. That's just not true. He just passed up Jordan Love, Lamar Jackson, and Trevor Lawrence on the players voted on top 100. He's properly rated if you say he's a mid to 18 ranked quarterback. He's not better than that, folks.
Yeah, it feels like a popularity contest. I just don't like these lists that much.
I get it. You don't like the lists, but the lists are there for us to debate. And I'm telling you, he's not underrated. I'm trying to tell everyone in Denver and everyone in Northern Colorado, everyone in the state, that Bo is an average to slightly above at this point in his career. Fourth quarter Bo, above average, maybe even excellent. But that one quarter does not make... I saw a man in the last 5 minutes of a lot of games one year do the same thing.
And who was that man?
He doesn't play in the NFL anymore. He's doing actually really great things, but that is Tim Tebow. He did it in a different way than Bo, and that's why I don't compare the two as far as arm strength and throwing ability or anything, reading receiver, reading routes, things like that, reading the defense. They're not the same, not even close. But if we were basing it off of fourth quarter magic, then Tim Tebow would still be in the NFL and he'd be making multiple millions of dollars.
And he was, you know, pretty, like, really good in one way. And the NFL was not ready for it. He was like the human version of, why am I forgetting this? What the offense that Miami dominated with for 6 weeks.
The Wildcat?
Yeah, he's like the Wildcat of quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And then once Buffalo and New England, like the last three games when the Broncos got blown out because everybody figured out, you know what, they're behind. Let's just let him throw.
Yeah, unlike what the Jets did. And again, I think Tebow would have been found out if the Broncos didn't sign Peyton Manning. They would have went with Tim Tebow, who knows, probably. And I think it would have been like a 6-5-6 win team. And the magic would have been gone. And that would have been the end of Tebow's legend. The legend of Tebow would have just ended in Denver, whatever. It ended quickly after that with the Jets and the Patriots.
I feel like the fan bases of New England and New York were a lot more critical of him, unlike some Broncos fans who were just like, they find a guy that they love and he just happens to win in a certain unconventional way.
We,
and he's the greatest thing ever.
Mike, we crave getting behind I'm not going to say wholesome, because I don't think Elway was necessarily like wholesome.
Elway's drinking was wholesome.
But would it be fair to describe Elway as kind of like that sports terms American hero type of guy? Gunslinger, you know, never out, never down and out, always going to go. That competitor that we just root for. You know, is it fair to say he's kind of in that category?
Yeah. Brett Favre was in that category too.
Who wasn't? Who's a good quarterback in Broncos history that Broncos fans had a hard time getting behind?
I'd say Jake Plummer.
There you go, Mike. There you go. Second on that list, who's also a decent quarterback, but fans had a hard time getting behind. Who was that? Who's the other guy?
Jay Cutler.
There you go. See, Bo Nix fits the Elway mold, the Peyton Manning mold. Man, that's a good dude. I got to have a beer with that guy. I go have a beer with that guy. Jay Cutler's going to be like, I go have a beer with that guy. He's not going to show up. He's not showing up to the meeting. He stood you up, bro.
He's going to smoke a camel and go shoe shopping.
Yeah. Jake Plummer is going to show up, but he's going to have a bag of mushrooms and be like, I'm not having a beer. I don't touch this stuff. You know what that does to your body? I'm going to hit this. And then he's talking about aliens and space and all that stuff, flipping off the camera, doing all that crazy stuff. The point is, the reason they're more critical in New York when Tebow went there, Broncos fans are desperate for a Bo Nix-like quarterback to be the man. And they will tell themselves that he is already the man until they convince themselves that it's true. He could be that guy. But a good chunk of Broncos fans are willing to say, no, he's already there. Take it. I mean, I heard T.J. Ward saying, you know, people are giving, former Bronco, people are giving Jared Stidham such a bad rap. Like, he wasn't that bad, and the weather was just awful. And yes, he had a bad play, but so did Bo. Do you remember in the preseason when Bo had that safety? I know it was preseason. That was a really bad play. That means he's capable of having some bad plays.
DJ Ward is right about that. I think there's like a, not a disdain necessarily for the backup quarterback, but we love the starting quarterback because of Elway so much that the backup quarterback is just
there's got to be some kind of graph you could look at though. If it's a Jake Plummer, Jay Cutler type, the backup quarterback is a lot more popular than you think. If it's a John Elway, Peyton Manning, Bo Nix, the backup quarterback is basically the enemy because you threaten my dear quarterback's existence, and I don't like that. That is Jarrett Stidham. He threatens the Bo Nix idea that he is this ultimate franchise QB, that if he's in the game, we win. Blizzard or not, Bo Nix lights the football on fire and it literally melts the snow as it torpedoes through the air. That's what the difference is with Broncos fans. You're illogical when it comes to guys like Bo Nix, Peyton Manning, and Elway. You weren't illogical saying those were two great quarterbacks, Elway and Manning, two Hall of Famers. Bo, you're already putting into that class. And I just have a problem with that. So when I'm logical and I'm real about Bo, I think it comes across to the diehards as, wow, you're hard on Bo Nix, man.
Let me insert my situational opinion about Broncos fans and Bo Nix. Is it possible that they like him so much because there were so many failures, not necessarily just on the quarterbacks, but the coaches as well?
You're desperate.
Do they like Bo Nix because he's not those other quarterbacks?
Also, where'd you draft him?
Oregon.
No, where was he drafted? I mean, what number? Top?
No, I don't remember.
What was he, top 10? Wasn't he top 10?
I think he was 12, maybe. I don't think he was top 10. He went after.
Look at you. Look at you go.
My guy.
Look at you go.
MPJ.
Number 12. He's a first round pick. Top 15. That also says something.
We had Drew Locke, and people loved Drew Locke for a bit.
Second rounder. He was a second rounder because didn't they take up. They took Reisner first, didn't they? Maybe I'm misremembering it wrong.
Did like that pick of Reisner.
I did, too. I liked Reisner. I kind of like Drew Locke, too. But we had a hard time with Drew Locke, didn't we? People had a hard time with him, too, because he had a little bit of that.
That attitude. To rap on the sideline.
Bo has an attitude, but it's a different kind of attitude, isn't it? It's more of a, you know, I'm going to stand up for what I believe in. Sean Payton can come at me. I'm going to go right back at you. That's accepted. Jake Plummer hearing a fan behind him boo and then pulling out, acting like he's adjusting his cap and flipping him the bird. Oh, no, 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 no. We do not want that. You can yell at your head coach and get into it with him. You cannot flip him off. People really had a problem with that.
I feel like if there was a bit of road rage that Bo Nix had versus, like, there'd be a lot more forgiveness. Like, Plummer had that road rage incident that I don't know if he was ever convicted for, but it was alleged that after someone. I just think that Bo Nix would get away with that because he's more admirable in other ways. And he's not a flipping weirdo.
He'd have to be careful. You can't do it too much. But this is a fascinating study, though, isn't it? Bo has already been given the driver's seat by most of Broncos country. Jake Plummer had to crawl and claw and scratch to even get in the passenger seat of Broncos fandom.
All right, I have an argument for that too. Now, when he came to Denver from
Arizona.
from the Cardinals, I was against that.
Oh, I loved it.
I'm like, I don't know about this guy. He's not very good. I had an instructor at Ames who was like, yeah, this guy's going to be great.
What do they know at Ames?
That guy was more right than I was. But was he less popular because he wasn't drafted by us, and because the Cardinals were always terrible.
No,
because
look at Manning.
Yeah, but Manning's just a unique situation.
Give me a quarterback like John Elway right now. Or John Elway, Jake Plummer. That's kind of good, but not like guaranteed good. Dak Prescott. If Bo Nix wasn't here, and you're dealing with Jared Stidham, and you're like, it's kind of average, whatever. Would Dak Prescott be welcomed?
No, because, and I think some of this is on Jerry Jones, he may have the numbers in many games, but he doesn't have the wins.
Would Baker Mayfield be welcomed?
I think Baker would be welcomed more because, like, he's in a way he's Peyton Manning like as far as media.
Yeah,
presence.
But he's also kind of what do you call it, reformed? Like he used to be that, like, I'm grabbing my crotch, planting my flag and stuff. He's much different the past 5 years. Plus, he did the commercials.
Yeah, like I think
people are
I
sheep,
think
Michael.
There's like a better, and this is from my experience. I think he is respected more because of what he did with the Browns, and then he got screwed over, than Dak Prescott, who has been with the Cowboys his entire career, and he doesn't have a playoff win. And I don't necessarily blame him for that. I think leadership over there is ridiculous, and every Cowboys fan would.
But
agree.
That's crazy. I'm asking you that because Smitty even says Plummer equals Baker. Plummer is Baker Mayfield. So he's of the mindset that Baker Mayfield would be like a 50-50 guy. People like me would be like, hell yeah. You don't care. You're not a good example of Broncos country. And I mean that in the most respectful of ways.
Well,
you're looking at play on the field. You're not falling in love or out of love based on personality.
Well, you know me. Like I hated Junior Seau and Peyton Manning on the field. Off the field, I had respect for them because Junior Seau was a really good guy. And Peyton Manning was hilarious.
27 minutes after the hour. This ended up being fun. I had a plan in this segment, but for some reason we got to talking about the study of Broncos fandom when it comes to their quarterbacks and what's acceptable. That was pretty fascinating. That's fun. Thanks for going on that journey with me, Michael. 27 minutes after the hour. It's the whole show. We'll be right back.
Commute. Good morning, NoCo. Weekdays at 6 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
This speech is my recital. I think it's very vital to rock around. That's right. On top. It's tricky. Here we go. To rock around. To rock around. That's right. On time. It's tricky.
Trying to do the robot there? That was a tough robot.
I can't dance.
Not a very flexible robot.
I'm very white in that way.
Yes, you are. 32 minutes after the hour. Coming up next, Preston Munch going to join us, the owner of the Fort Collins Foxes. We have loved our partnership with them. Believe it or not, they are wrapping up their season this week, their last week of games. And he's going to come on and talk to us a little bit about that, what the season's been like. And guys, I'm telling you, if you're looking for an inexpensive, family-friendly, amazing baseball atmosphere, you're going to want to check out the Fort Collins Foxes. So, hey, try it this week. Try it this week. Might be a little cooler. Who knows? Bring that sunscreen. Bring those umbrellas. And try to make the best of a terrible time of year when it comes to the temperature. You might as well take in some Fort Collins Foxes. 32 minutes after the hour. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
In Colorado, local matters. It matters who you trust, who knows your name, and who's rooted right here in our state. I'm Sean Ostoff, president of Bank of Colorado, and we're staying grounded in the same values we've built on for generations. At Bank of Colorado, we stay true to what matters most: local decisions, real relationships, and communities we call home. If you're ready for a bank built for Colorado and committed to it, choose Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Just 37 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Welcome back to The Hull Show, powered by Mosquito Joe of Northern Colorado, one of our great, great partners on this program and here at the station. It's been fun to get to know Preston and a little bit more about these Fort Collins Foxes, too. Preston Munch joining us now, the owner and president of the Foxes. Preston Munch joining us. Man, Preston, great to catch up with you, my friend.
Yeah, you too. Looking forward to the chat.
Yeah, I mean, I can't believe it. We're already down to it, man. We're here in late July, and the Foxes are wrapping up the season.
I know. It happens so fast. And so, yeah, we game tonight, game Thursday, and then we wrap it up Saturday. And, you know, it's 47 games, right, wrapped up in about 58 to 60 days. But here we are, and, you know, we'll wrap it up Saturday. And these kids, we have some kids literally next morning, our catcher jumps in the car, drives 20 hours back home. He'll be home for a couple days. And then he's off to college and start his fall baseball season.
Wow. I mean, that's so true about great baseball players, though, the good ones, right? They're just always playing baseball. There's hardly any downtime for these dudes.
Yeah, nope, there isn't. And then that's what we do here, right? It's what we offer as the kids, that opportunity to continue to play. Because we're seeing it, you know, I think that's a whole nother conversation, whether you should be playing full-time all the time as early as 10 or 12. But that's unfortunately what you're seeing, and you see it on the college level, too. These kids literally take no time off, but you know, most of our guys, you know, they're either trying to maintain their starting spot, or like our catcher I mentioned, he was third on the depth chart behind two seniors. Well, now he's going back to Northwestern State D1 program in Louisiana, and the coaches are expecting him to be the starter when he gets there, right? So so the summer ball is huge for guys like Brody.
Yeah, no question. Talk to me a little bit about what you've seen this year from your team, Preston, you know, as far as that growth. And again, so many of these players are always playing at that high level, but just keeping that focus, you know, in the dog days of summer, as we call it. What have you seen from this group this year in 2026?
Well, I think what you've seen is guys that are just, they're laser focused. We see guys that know that that everyone's got a gap in their game, right? Somewhere a gap in their game. So whether it's a pitcher trying to, you know, to fine-tune that third pitch, whether it's a batter that's trying to get better at off-speed pitches, right? Whatever it may be, they all come in here with a certain mindset of something they need to work on. And the fact that they're able to do it and play a, you know, we'll call it a rigorous schedule, right? I sat down with our coaches yesterday at breakfast. I said, hey, this is a rigorous schedule. And they said, love it. There's no better way for these guys to get better and to face this, right, to be playing 5 out of 6 days. So what we've seen, to answer your question, is guys coming in on things to work on, and I could tell you it's so fun to see these guys getting better, figuring out, again, that third pitch. And, you know, it's exciting. We've had 9 kids off our team that have signed with the college program this summer, right? Got a lot of guys going to the RMAC. We've had 2 sign with Metro State, got 3 signed with Adams State. So it's really fun to see these guys, because that's what they're looking for too, Brady, is if they're a JUCO guy that just finished their sophomore year, I need that next opportunity, or 2 guys that were in the portal looking for their next opportunity. So that's part of it too.
Preston, how much does this season, you know, you start in May and then you go through pretty much most of the summer, how much, you know, on tape and what they do in this season can impact some of these dudes for the rest of their careers?
Yeah, it's, you know, because we live in a world now, right, where there's so much technology and so much, you know, every game of ours, we live stream it. It's a 4-camera shoot. So the guys are able to get really high quality tape and data from us. So they'll use that, right, to not only give them new opportunities, but how to continue to get better. And, you know, a fun story I want to share with you. We just had the MLB draft, right? That happened. And we had, for the first time under my ownership, a Fort Collins Fox drafted, right? And that was so exciting, and I thought he had a chance. And sure enough, he got drafted by my team, the Kansas City Royals, last week. And here's a kid, Cooper's his name, Cooper Corcoran. He was with us during the 24th season. Great kid, big lefty, you know, from Texas, right? Kid was had all the stuff, but he was mental. And that's what a lot of these guys are working on too, is that's why these coaches love playing every day. It challenges you mentally, right? How are you going to handle today, tonight, when it's 94 degrees and you are 0-for-8 the last 2 days, right? And you're facing a D1 pitcher today, right? So that the mental part's a big part. But that's how this kid Cooper was, super mental. I took him for a car ride in Dodge City, Kansas. This is a true story. He forgot his wallet in the dugout. I said, Cooper, I'm going to take you. So we're driving from the hotel to the stadium at Dodge City. I used that time to tell him, Cooper, you've got major league stuff, but it's all above your shoulders. And he realized that, so he really focused on it. Last year, he goes into Mexico, all Mountain West, 6-2 record, and guess what? Gets drafted by the Royals. And so those are fun moments. He signed his paperwork yesterday with the Royals, so what a fun story.
I love to hear that, and I'm glad you could elaborate with us. Because, again, just talking about how special this is, not just for the fans to go to these games, but to the growth of these young players that you're putting together each and every summer.
Yeah, so with the 9 kids that signed with us this summer, in the last 3 years since under our organization, we've got 30 kids who signed with new programs during the summer with us. So that's super fun, and it's a big part of why I love doing what we do.
Yeah, I love it, man. What is, you know, as far as, you know, we've had a lot of fun talking about the different nights and different events for the fans to get excited about. I know coming up here this weekend, this week as we kind of wrap up the season, as we've talked about, another special outing coming up for the Foxes.
Yeah, so tonight and Thursday we play 605 City Park. But Saturday night is going to be a very special night. It's something that I've always wanted to do, and we're doing it, and as a Strikeout Cancer night. And it's something that you just can't throw together, right, Brady? So we've been working up to this. And, you know, originally it was going to be a little bit earlier in the season, but we pivoted and moved to make it to the last game of the year. Let's make it really special. So we got special jerseys and hats the players are going to wear. We got to show some of them the other day, and they're like, that's cool. So we knew we hit it when the kids are saying that's cool. And but it has a bigger meaning, right? And so our title sponsor is Gibbs Grooming, the founder of that. You know, unfortunately lost his wife to cancer. So he's we let the sponsor pick that nonprofit that we will provide proceeds to. And so it's going to be a special night. It's always an emotional night. All of us have been impacted by cancer, right? And so it's a chance for us just to bring it forward, talk about it, and you know, we're going to have a chance for probably a third inning where everyone gets to put up a card of someone they want to remember that has fought or did fight cancer. So it'll be a special night. And then at the end, Brady, we're going to auction off the jerseys online over the next 2 weeks following that last game. And all the proceeds will go to that very specific nonprofit organization.
Oh, I love that, man. Great causes, too. There's so many different events, so many different decorative items to make these games a little bit more special, a little bit more fun. Obviously, this one certainly means a lot for so many. So I appreciate you guys for putting this on and making this a part of your schedule.
Yeah, that's what we did. We try to bring meaning to everything. I mean, you know, I was at Target yesterday, and this is a special moment for me because I know we're starting to make a difference, and I'm in Target, and I see two kids. They're over where the sports cards are, and I look up at them. They both have Foxes hats, and they're autographed all over. And I went up to them and I said, boys, I love your hats. Then the mom comes over, and she says, hey, these kids love Fox. They don't know who I am. They love the Fox. And she's telling me about it, like pitching it to me. She has no idea who I am, and I walked away going like, all right, we're doing things right. And those are fun experiences. Three games left, a chance for people to experience what we're doing, and it's fun. And like I said, theme nights, we had Santa Claus, we've had Dinger. I mean, we've done a lot of things to have fun, and look forward to kind of wrapping up these final three games.
I love it, man. Well, Preston, we appreciate you, man, and telling the stories this summer with us about the Fort Collins Foxes. And I know we're catching up soon. Talk about even more ideas next year, too. So we'll be looking forward to that, man. So we appreciate you.
Yeah, I appreciate you and everyone there as well supporting us. So much appreciated.
We'll talk to you soon, man. Preston Munch, owner and president of the Fort Collins Foxes. 11:47 the time. Short show today, Mike. We got Rockies Nationals coming up pregame at 12:30 today. So we will catch up with Sean Keeler for Keeling Me Softly. Denver Post Sean Keeler, that is. He has a lot of stuff I'm interested in this week. I mean, it's like he listens to the show, Mike, and then writes his articles. Do you think? You think that's what he does?
No, he gets his idea from me.
His idea, if he got that from you, it would be the worst thing ever. Vampire funeral music. 47 minutes after the hour. We'll take a quick break. It's the whole show. Don't go anywhere.
Preps football broadcast will sound a little different this season. Hear Jerry Schammel, Bruce Dick, and the studio man Kyle Johnson every Friday night this football season. Northern Colorado's voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
On the Rocks Liquor will help. They'll do their best to try to keep you cool with some of the most refreshing summer drinks available at On the Rocks Liquor, half a mile south of Highway 34 on 47th Avenue. They do their free wine and beer tastings every single Friday, so you're going to want to check that out at On the Rocks Liquor. Make your next celebration on the rocks. Okay, so Keeler's article in the Denver Post, which we'll talk about with him in about 10 minutes. If CSU Rams football bowls this fall, Jim Mora ought to be Pac-12 Coach of the Year. I don't know. Six wins? If Jim Mora and CSU win six to get him bowl eligible, that would be good enough for Coach of the Year?
Unless one of the other cupcake type program, I should say, Danish type program.
Stop it.
Goes.
I don't want to
like
hear your
seven
filth.
Or eight wins.
I don't want to hear that filth from you. I don't want to hear that filth.
I mean, technically, they would count as a Danish.
I don't think you know what anything is ever. It could have been an extreme response by
actually,
me.
Actually, if I really wanted to analyze it, they might be closer to a donut.
I think you're a donut. I think you should stop eating them. To be honest. There you go.
I haven't had a donut
sorry.
In a while.
Well, it doesn't show. I'm sorry. I'm a little. That was mean. That was mean. You look good, man. You look good. That
I'm
was
very
mean.
Abused. I'm always
that,
being abused.
That
here.
One, I will admit, was over the top. But I don't like. I don't like you talking about my
not
conference.
That it's not truthful.
I don't
or
like
anything.
You. I don't like you talking about my conference that way. I like the Pac-12. I love the Pac-12. Conference of Champions. I've been there since day one. I love this conference
How
so much.
How many conferences
much.
Are there?
Oh, there's a
How
lot of
How many
champions
them. Are there in that conference?
It's the Conference of Champions. They're all champions, Mike, because you're in the Conference of Champions. Every
yeah,
game
and,
feels like
the
a championship
Cowboys are
game.
America's team.
That actually is true. You have this stupid, 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 stupid take that the Broncos are America's team because you're obsessed
well,
with
I
the
say
Broncos.
That tongue
and
in
it's
cheek.
So annoying. The Cowboys are 100% America's team. They're 100%.
Cowboys also the Fairweather fans team.
No, they are America's team. It's a dumb take by you. I don't understand why. If they're not America, they are America's team.
Well, Brady, actually, they marketed it that way in the 1945s. By the way, everyone knows about Captain America.
They are America's team. There's no other football team that is labeled as America's team. It is the Dallas Cowboys. I don't care if they created it. We followed it like the sheep we are. So, you're welcome.
Well, I mean... You just called yourself a sheep. You didn't call me a sheep.
I mean, coming from you, who's obsessed with one football team, I would say you're the biggest of sheep because you think they
what are you
never can
about?
Lose.
I'm also obsessed
you
with the Washington
Huskies. You blindly
Huskies.
Follow the Broncos into no man's land, whether it was Bo Nix or Michael Jackson as the quarterback. You think this team would go undefeated? I don't know what's more sheepy than that. Going
if Michael
right
Jackson
along with
was
the
quarterback of the Broncos. Would the media care so much about his ankles?
Yeah, because he ain't moonwalking on bad ankles, Mike. I'll tell you that right now. So we'd be very concerned about that. You are a Broncos sheep. How about that? You can call me a sheep, but you're a Broncos sheep.
I'm more like a wolf.
Just go your own way, man. Have a Broncos take. Maybe have it be negative toward the Broncos for once. Just see how it feels.
I've been negative about the Broncos. You just don't listen to me when I'm negative about
Well, when
the
you're
Broncos.
Negative, you say, well, at the end of it, it doesn't matter because they're just going to win. So that's what you do. So you can't be negative. If at the end of the day, it doesn't matter, they're still going to win.
Don't judge my Sunday morning faith.
I don't like your whatever it is. Yes, Dallas Cowboys are definitely America's team. And I don't know where you came up with this take that you don't. It just doesn't make any sense to me. Doesn't make any sense. But for the Pac-12, the Conference of Champions, which they absolutely are, and I've been there since day one.
Conference of Champions, in quotes.
You and I used to be in the same conference, and I was always there. I've been there since day one, Micah. You know this. I'm a diehard Pac-12 fan. So I
you
don't,
are now.
Don't, no, I've always been since day one. Since day one of the Pac-12.
So you were following Washington and Oregon. And
day one
actually,
of the
Pac-12. The Pac-12 is older than both of us.
I've been following it since I was alive. So I'm so obsessed with it. I've just, since I'm alive inside. And maybe that just happened because the Pac-12 was revitalized and it made me alive inside. So I've been there since day one.
Revitalized or
revived.
Just dealt with what they could?
I don't know how to answer that question, Mike. I just know that I've been a fan of the Pac-12 since day one. So, whatever. This Conference of Champions is going to be great. Six wins, all it's going to take for Jim Mora to be Coach of the Year? Come on, Keeler. You're Keeling me softly with that. He'll explain. We'll give him a chance to do that coming up next.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.